Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, Edge has made his big jump to AEW, and as I had said on our group, this is a big mistake for the WWE. The WWE had in Edge, I'm not the biggest Edge fan in the world, but what they had in Edge was a lifetime guy, a guy who really hadn't went anywhere else, a homemade WWE guy. And certainly, he should have been a lifetime member of the WWE roster, given a Legends contract, and absolutely finished his career where he technically began it. I mean, he was Sexton Hardcastle and some other places and stuff, but the Edge character. Instead, we get Adam Copeland in AEW and reuniting with Christian, and that's a big deal to wrestling fans. It's a big deal. And I think WWE made a big mistake here. I don't know if it came down to money, but I'm going to assume it did. I'm going to assume it did. And that's a shame, considering how many people they just let go, that they couldn't find a figure that would suit Adam Copeland to keep him in the WWE. Now, having said that, Adam Copeland recently gave some insight as to why he felt he'd be better off jumping to AEW, and one of the things he said was, there was a lot of things I wanted to accomplish, and I don't think the WWE was going to give me that opportunity, or I felt restricted. I felt held back to a certain degree. That is bullshit. Okay, I'm just going to call it like I see it. That is bullshit. You were given the Judgment Day, and then you said you didn't want it. So they let you out of the Judgment Day. They let you win the Royal Rumble. They let you go into the cage match and win over Edge. They gave win over Finn Balor. They gave you every single thing you asked for. They gave you all the big matches. They gave you the big feuds. They gave you the big returns. You had almost complete creative control of your character. Absolutely not true, and very disappointing to hear. Very disappointing to hear. This did not have to do with creative issues. Now, he's the one who said, I only want to wrestle 7 times. I'll sign a contract, but it's only going to be for 7 matches. You're the one who did that. They would have had you wrestle all the time if that's what you said you wanted to do. You said you didn't. Then you said, I want the Judgment Day. Then you said, I don't want the Judgment Day. Then you said, I want to do this with my wife. Then I don't want to do that. And you were the one. If you had went to them and said, look, you know, I'm willing to sign a contract to wrestle much more often, they would have absolutely, absolutely signed you to do that. You don't want to wrestle very often. You've already said you don't want to wrestle very often. Even in AEW, you're not going to wrestle very often. We get it. So what creatively was left for you to do? Nothing. He wanted to go over there with Christian. He wanted to test the waters over there because I think he was beginning to realize my act is getting old here. People are not going to buy Edge going over top names right now. His job was going to become to put younger people over. I guess he didn't want to. But to say, well, they didn't allow me to accomplish anything. Well, what do you want them to accomplish? What do you want to, you want them to put the belt on you? I mean, come on. Let's be a little reasonable. So when he says that, that's disingenuous and it's not true. He was given a large amount. I don't know if it was 100%, but it was a large amount of creative control. And he was given the primo matches and the primo spots. And he almost always went over. So it's money. That's exactly what it amounts to. Tony Khan threw him a whole bunch of money. And he said, okay, well, maybe I'll just go. After all, this is probably the last year of my career. If they want to pick me up, you know, it's like when, you know, the Mets pick up a pitcher and you say, well, this is the last year he's really going to pitch. He's 42 years old, but he might have a little left in the tank, so we'll give him a ton of money. And how did that work out? Didn't work out very well, did it? So we'll see if Edge works out. Now, in all fairness, his clip with Christian got 2 million views. 2 million views. But the show itself did not do well. Show itself got 800,000 average viewers, which is less than NXT got this week. Now, there is some excuses for that. One is bullshit, so I'll give you that one first. Well, we had audio issues. Well, audio issues, if you're a fan, you're not tuning out. You don't say, oh, well, I can't hear it. I'm just tuning out. I'm not interested. You stay tuned. Never one time have I shut off a show because there were some audio issues. If I was really enraptured in the show, I'm watching it. I might be cursing the audio issues, but I'm not turning it off. Why would I turn it off if I'm interested in it? The second one is that somehow TBS scheduled it in the wrong time slot. It aired at the right time slot, but they had written it down that it wasn't going to air then. It was going to air some other time. I don't know how much water that holds either, because never one time have I ever said, oh, let me check the schedule Monday night and see when Raw is on. I know when it's on, 8:00. Let me check the schedule tonight and see what time SmackDown's on. I know what time it's on, 8:00. So if you're an AEW fan, you probably didn't look at the listings and say, I wonder if they've mysteriously changed the time this week. Oh, they have? Okay, well, then I won't bother to tune in at 8:00. I don't think too many people did that either. So what I think probably is maybe you lost, I don't know, 10%. So what's that, another, 80,000? So you still did well under 900,000 people. And that's with Edge. Take him out of the equation. What would you have done? This is my problem with AEW. They always do it by smoke and mirrors. Like, oh, we almost did 1 million. We almost did 900,000, but we brought back CM Punk. We brought back Edge. We had this big issue happen. Well, what happens when the big issues don't happen? What happens when you don't have a top star coming in? Then you go back down to your 700,000, right, and 650,000. I don't know. I mean, NXT finally woke up and realized, well, Tony Khan, that's what Tony Khan does. He brings in a big star, and, oh, they get ratings. So how about we bring in a big star? How about we bring in Becky Lynch? Oh, wow, the ratings went way up. Amazing. How long did we call for this? That's the thing that gets me. You got billions and billions and billions of dollars in this corporation. You're supposed to have the primo businessmen and you know, executives with minds like steel traps. And they're saying, I don't know how to make NXT any better. Think if we put the belt on somebody else, it'll be better. No, Einstein, bring in a couple of people. Bring in a couple of wrestlers that have a following. Oh, and then the little light bulb goes off 2 years after we said it. And you start to bring in some stars, and guess what? Your ratings go up. Miraculous, right? Friggin' miraculous. So for the benefit of people who say, well, Becky Lynch doesn't really bring too much to the table, nobody really tunes in to see her, well, that's not true. Because the ratings went up when she was there. Dominic Mysterio, the ratings went up when he was on it. It's not in dispute. So, yes, they do drive ratings. So this was my point when I said, why are we bothering to let people go who could potentially help you in NXT, why don't you just send them to NXT? And the answer was, because they're making main roster salary. Okay, but they're driving ratings. So if they're driving ratings to the point where you're increasing your ratings in NXT, aren't they worth the main roster salary? That's what I don't understand. You're saying, well, on the main roster, they're not doing too much. And we're paying them main roster, and we're hardly ever using them. They're sitting in catering, but we're paying them main roster. Okay, well, send them down to NXT where you can use them every week. And then they'll earn that salary, right? No, that makes too much sense. We'll just let them go. You think maybe Edge wouldn't have taken a proposition to say, look, we're going to give you a couple of more big matches here on the main roster, and then we're going to send you down to NXT to kind of be like a mentor, to help down there, to bring the new talent up, to advise them and get them ready for the main roster and maybe do a few matches here and there. I think he would have done that. I think he would have. Put a price tag on that. He says he can't wrestle very much longer anyway. So what's NXT? What's AEW going to do with him when he says, I'm done? Nothing. And then he's going to bounce back to WWE with his hat in his hand saying, can I get a job backstage? Why didn't you just keep him? If you're that desperate for money, which I find it very, very hard to believe, very hard to believe, then my suggestion is that you think about maybe just letting Brock Lesnar walk away. He doesn't do anything anyway, and I think at this point his usefulness is about gone. He's lost everybody. So, something like that. But I would not have let Edge go. I would have tried to make some kind of an amicable meeting of the minds there. I know he wanted to reunite with Christian. I get it. But I also know he wanted the almighty dollar, and he probably got it from Tony Khan. And apparently the WWE is suddenly cash-strapped after merging and making good bazillions of dollars. I don't get this one, Mike. I think this is an unforced error by the WWE, and, it doesn't appear to have helped AEW that much. But then again, we have to adopt a wait-and-see attitude.
Well, let me ask you this. How much longer is that contract with Saudi Arabia? How many more shows do they have? Right, and how many million? It was a $1 billion contract, right? Or damn near it, doggone near it, right? So they're not, like you said, they're not cash strapped. So they should have been able to do it. And if you can find the money to pay Jake Cargill, whatever they're paying her. I'm assuming it's a somewhat big deal to get Jade Cargill. You should be able to he should finish his career there and go into the Hall of Fame again. Should Edge? I mean that's his wife is still there, Beth Phoenix is still there, and that's the deal. I mean I just don't get it. I put it to you this way. When choosing between logic and illogic, the WWE chooses illogic more often than not.
I agree with you. I mean, I don't know what it would have taken. I don't know if Edge was just of the mindset of, I just want to go do something new. If that's the case, I think he made a huge mistake. He's not going to be as big a star in AEW as he was in WWE, period. Period. But if it was, well, I want to accomplish something more, well, then what is it that you want exactly? You're not going to put the world title on somebody who can only do three matches a year. So you're not going to do that. So what is it that you wanted to accomplish? And what is it that the WWE didn't allow you to accomplish? You were always in the big angles. You were always in at least the co-main event. He always got the huge pops. He was front and center with all of the major angles. I don't get it. How much more could you want them to do for you? That's why I think it's not about that. That's why I think it is about money. I could be wrong, but I just don't think so. Let's see what AEW does for him. Let's see what it is he wants to accomplish over there. If they hand him every single, you know, they hand him the keys to the kingdom, okay. Maybe WWE wasn't going to do that and shouldn't, by the way. To a guy his age and with his capability, you can't hand him the keys to the kingdom. If Tony Khan wants to do that, okay, well, then maybe that's what Edge wanted. But I bet you it doesn't happen. I bet you what happens is that he's occasionally going to wrestle. He's going to be involved in a lot of talking and a lot of story angles, but not necessarily a lot of wrestling angles, although he's going to wrestle Luchasaurus next week, I think. And then we'll see. We'll see where it goes. And we'll know soon enough, Todd, whether it was about money or it was about creative differences.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, it could be both, you know. It could be both at the same time. It could be money and creative at the same time. And it's just, you never know what's going through Edge's head. I mean, Adam Copeland's head now.
No, and here's the thing. When you sit down for a contract, when you sit down for a contract negotiation, hold on, we got some interruption on the line. Hang on just one second. Let me get, okay, there we go. When you sit down for contract negotiations, why would you not consider really long-term? In other words, why wouldn't the WWE say, listen, Adam, we're not going to give you $1 bazillion to wrestle 7 matches. Not going to happen. Nobody's worth that, including you. Maybe Tony Khan will, just like Eric Bischoff did for a little while. Here's what we will offer you, though. 15 years. You get a year of wrestling, and you can dictate the schedule, 3, 4, 5 matches, whatever you want to do, no more than 7, no less than 3. And then you're set for life. You get your Legends contract kicks in. You're basically being paid to do little to nothing. Show up once in a while, do some meet and greets, do some publicity. Maybe once in a while come out for an angle. What, you know, work backstage, whatever it is. But now you're a lifer. You're set for your next 15 years. You're catching a paycheck even if you're sitting home watching TV. What's wrong with that? See, because if I was Adam Copeland's age and I was just about ready to retire from wrestling, I would say, gee, that sounds really good. Okay, I'm not making a ton of money this first year. I was asking for big money and I didn't get it. But if you're going to tell me after this first year, I get 9 more years on a 10-year contract of basically a Legends contract, making this much money for doing basically nothing, that sounds like something I could get into, because that gives me a stable income even when I'm not doing much and I'm in my 50s. So, yeah, that sounds good. I bet you he would have went for that. The only reason, he's acting like he's 20, the only reason he would not go for that if he says, well, there's so much more to accomplish, there's not much more to accomplish. What is it you want to accomplish? If you became the AEW champion, it pales in comparison to everything you've done in the WWE, so that's not accomplishing anything. So I just don't get that. Just don't get that. Now, Derek's asking, does Rampage do better than Collision? Yes, normally. Normally. Collision was a new show, so it got some good ratings to begin with, but you know, like Jim Ross and a lot of other people say, Saturday night's not a great time for wrestling shows. There's pay-per-views on, there's people doing things. You know, Saturday night's not where people's usually sitting in front of their TV set watching wrestling, so it's not really the best time for it. And, you know, so it's their C show. Anyway, yeah, I think Adam Copeland probably would have taken that deal. Now, speaking of taking deals, MJF, now he could be trolling everybody because he likes to troll people, but MJF seemed to be serious and out of character when he said, I have not signed a contract extension with AEW. If he has not signed a contract extension, which we thought he did, then it's coming up. His contract's coming up. And there's a very good chance, a very strong chance, that they would grab a hold of him. Very strong chance that the WWE would attempt to grab a hold of him. Especially if they think they dropped the ball with Edge, because it would almost, Mike, feel like a little retribution. Hold on, let me get Mike on the phone. We're having trouble with the phone lines. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And unlike Edge, MJF is what, in his late 20s instead of basically being 50? So he's got another 10 to 15 years in him. So, yeah, go ahead and let Edge, who is a Hall of Famer, go for the potential of getting another possible Hall of Famer, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, another 15-year guy. And if, I mean, he does have that title right now, but he's being chased by some serious thing. And if he hadn't signed his contract, then I'm expecting him, whoever that, I'm trying to remember who his next opponent is, he's probably going to drop, he probably will drop that title at some point really soon if he hasn't signed his contract yet.
That would be a big hint. If he drops that championship, then they're struggling to sign him. So we'll keep a close eye on that. By the way, it has been made official. Here's the funny thing. We made it official a month ago, almost a month ago. It's now made official, and everybody's saying breaking news. This cracks me up because we do this a lot. We'll say something, and then we get like 40 people who email me saying, that's not confirmed. You don't know that. Yeah, I do. Well, AEW, I guess, confirmed that Collision is Bryan Danielson's show now. He's running it. He, you know, there were people saying, oh, no, he said he wants to retire, and he said he wants to do this, and he's not running it. That's not true. It is true. We told you it was true a month ago. Now everybody's saying, yeah, it's true. And it's only going to be a better show for it. Watch. Keep your eye focused on Collision. Because Collision's going to go from the C show to probably the B show, thanks to Bryan Danielson, because he understands wrestling and he's not all about himself. He gets it. So we'll see. It's still in a bad time slot on a bad night, but I think it'll greatly improve. Now, obviously, NXT is ecstatic with their ratings. They're doing almost 900,000. But they also have to understand that the reason you're doing some of this is because of the stars that you're bringing in. Now, I had people ask me, what in the hell was the sense of having Dominic Mysterio lose the title and then win it right back? Well, I think there's people who are still stuck on that punishment thing. That's bullshit. That's total bullshit. They didn't have him drop the North American title and just win it back as a punishment. How's that punishment? Oh, you're losing it this week, but you're winning it back next week. Bad boy. Okay. That doesn't make any sense. What they were trying to do, I think, is establish that Dominic Mysterio without Rhea Ripley and without the rest of the Judgment Day isn't the same. Especially with Rhea Ripley. That's what they're trying to do. And it's working. But as we saw Monday night, what did we say on Sunday's show about this toxic masculinity thing supposedly being wiped out of the WWE? And what happens, Tom? The very first segment, we have Rhea Ripley come out and say, I want the Judgment Day in this ring right now. I got a bone to pick with you. And then she berates them while they stand there and say, Oh no, we've made her mad. Oh no, we don't dare speak up. Now I could see Dominic. I could see Dominic saying, oh, you know, because he's supposed to be this little subservient worm. But there you got Damian Priest bowing his head. Oh, I'm sorry, I dropped the ball. Instead of saying, hey, you just said there's no leader here. Well, who the hell do you think you are mouthing off to me? I'm not the one who, you know, got her ass beat and had to leave. Maybe if you'd been around and been paying a little bit more attention, or you're a little more resilient, we wouldn't have to worry about this, right? No, Damian Priest can't say anything because he's told you just have to bow your head. She's the alpha male. You're all subservient. This makes Damian Priest look stupid. Absolutely stupid. But we called it, Tom. We said that this is what they're trying to do with the entire, not just this Judgment Day thing, but they're trying to do with the entire WWE.
Yeah, and now speaking of the Judgment Day and Damian Priest, I mean, we said this on Sunday, and it's, you know, to be honest with you, it's actually insulting. Now it's getting to the point where after Monday, if Paul Heyman had written this segment and this was ECW, you realize that Rhea Ripley would have been shoved on her ass, and it would have been about goddamn time. So why can't you just push the envelope? It's wrestling. I mean, you know, UFC is more violent. There's no, you know, obviously there's no, you know, men versus women. I mean, maybe there is, but it just, why can't you just push the envelope? You got the merger. You got different people in control. Just do it. That's what the fans want. Isn't that what it's all about? Give the fans what they want. Get the ratings. Get more eyes on the product. Can we talk about Tuesday morning? Go, did you see what happened to Rhea Ripley? No, of course not. So just do it already.
Well, the thing that bothers me is at the same time as you're doing this, at the same time as you're basically emasculating Dominic, which is fine because that's his gimmick. But you're also emasculating Damian Priest, which is not fine because that is not his, far from it. You're then actually pushing Rhea Ripley as a face because you brought back Nia Jax to basically challenge her, and nobody likes Nia Jax. And you're making Nia Jax out to be this big heel. So if you're making Nia Jax out to be a big heel, at the same time as you're having Rhea Ripley berate the Judgment Day, it doesn't even make any sense where you're going with this character. To have done was for Rhea Ripley to have stuck up for Dominic and said, I leave and you guys drop the ball. You never should have let Dominic lose that title. Not saying if you don't win it back, don't come home. Oh, no. The opposite. She's supposed to be defending him at all costs. So she should have said he never would have lost the title. Not his fault he lost the title. It's your fault. And Damian Priest should have said, bullshit. Okay, I'm getting sick of listening to you tell me what I need to do. There's no leader in Judgment Day, and you better understand it. And then, if she looked at him in a manner that was like, how, and then started to say, I don't think he's kidding. This guy might snap and, you know, take my head off. That would have pushed Damian Priest's character a lot farther. Now you would have been able to judge, are the fans on Damian Priest's side, or are they saying, oh, man, would he dare try to lay a hand on, you know, Rhea Ripley? If he does, he's a bastard. I don't know. I don't know whether they'd have been on his side or they'd have been on her side, but it would have been interesting to find out, and then you could have went from there. Because obviously you want to make Rhea Ripley a face. I don't know how you're going to make her a face with Dominic. But obviously, you're trying because she's going to go up against Nia Jax. And nobody's cheering for Nia Jax. And you know nobody's cheering for Nia Jax. So you know they'll cheer for her. So you got to soften her character. And the way to soften her character is to say, you know, she came out here with this machismo. She came out here with, like, I lead Dominic around by the nose. But this little punk is starting to get cocky. And he's starting to maybe not listen so much to his mamacita. He's starting to think, hey, you lady, get in the back. And guess what? Judgment Day is getting sick of her too. Then people might have said, oh, well, yeah, I feel a little sorry for Rhea Ripley. And then you're starting to soften her character because she cares about Dominic, but he's acting now like he's a big shot. the rest of the Judgment Day is basically strong arming her out, and you've got yourself a situation where Rhea Ripley could potentially turn face if that's what you want her to do. If you don't want her to do it, then I have no idea why you brought Nia Jax's ass back to smash half the Federation, including Rhea Ripley, and then think they're not going to cheer for her, Mike, when they when those two fight. Okay, I don't know. I think we got Mike on two different wavelengths here, so I'm just going to go to Tom. Tom, what's the rationale behind having Nia Jax come back, clearly a heel, and go against Rhea Ripley?
Yeah, and there's no point to it because nobody's gonna cheer Nia Jax. So you're actually exactly what you said. You're turning Rhea Ripley a face, and there's no point into that either. If she's gonna be, you know, dominant and throwing people around in the group. So, you know, if you bring Nia Jax back, fine, I get it. But don't put her with the champion right away. Don't make her that person that's going to, you know, be the world beater, because she wasn't a world beater before. She's been gone for a couple of years. What happened since then? Well, after watching her work, it seems like nothing, because she's still the same lazy, you know, non-wrestler there is, and she can't talk on the mic, and she's not sellable, but they brought her back hoping that she was going to get, you know, this big pop by attacking all the heels, and nobody's going to cheer for her anyway. There is absolutely no sense in bringing her back and putting her with the champion immediately. You want to make an impact? Okay, so she did it, but she did it way late. How about you just attack Chelsea Green? Chelsea Green's not really doing anything anyway. She's kind of a joke.
Right.
So, you know, stomp on Chelsea Green and have kind of like, you know, Doudrop or Piper Niven, rather, you know, kind of get sick of it and stand up and defend. Now you have a sumo match.
What they need to do, if you want my honest opinion on this, I know there's probably going to be a lot of people who are going to disagree, but here's what I would do. If I were the booker or I were a writer, I would pitch this idea. It's not PG, but I think it would get two characters over big, maybe three or four. I would have the Judgment Day. I would have Finn Balor come out as the quasi-leader and say, here's the deal. JD McDonagh has earned his spot here. And we are all in agreement, all of us, that he belongs in the Judgment Day. Then when the fans boo and hoot and holler and all the Judgment Day are laughing at the fans saying, well, he should also say, however. We also realize that there's a person who doesn't belong in the Judgment Day. Everyone's going to think they mean Damian Priest. And we're also all in agreement with that. And that person is you, Rhea. I don't know how long you thought you were going to boss us all around and try to tell us what to do like you were some kind of a badass that we were all afraid of, but we were laughing behind your back and we were putting up with you because we thought you had some brains and you were able to help us here and there. But, honey, you don't belong here. That would be shocking. Then he'd say, and we're all in agreement. Damien, are you in agreement? Yes. JD, are you in agreement? Yes. Then Dominic could say, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. You're kicking her out? Are you kicking me out? And they'd say, oh, that's your decision. You're welcome to stay. Or you're welcome to go with her. You've had to make this decision before, Dominic. And if Dominic says, well, you know, that's an easy decision, I'm sorry, and then freaking super kicks her, he's a super heel. He doesn't need her at that point. Then have Raquel Rodriguez, oh, she's, you know, of Spanish descent or Puerto Rican descent or whatever, let her join. So now you got three of them, and you got Raquel Rodriguez, who can't really talk for herself, so she needs that extra stuff. And Rhea Ripley's a big face who says, I can't believe Dominic did that to me. I can't believe my own faction did that to me. Now she's got Raquel Rodriguez to feud with, the Judgment Day to feud with. And you've made a big face out of her. Or let Nia Jax come in and join if that's what you want to do. I don't care. But get Rhea Ripley out of the Judgment Day if you want to make her a face, because she's trying to be the top heel in the Judgment Day, and then she's trying to be the top face in the women's division. You can't do both. The move I would make. If Dominic were to lay hands on Rhea Ripley with the Judgment Day's blessing, I'm sorry. I think that I think the roof would come off the building. I think Dominic would be the most hated. If he's not already, he would definitely be the most hated person in that entire Judgment Day, if not the WWE. And you could slowly build up to a match that I normally don't like, but I think fans would be interested in, and that's an intergender match, Dominic Mysterio versus Rhea Ripley. I think that's money. I'd go for that in a heartbeat, Mike.
I would go for that too, and that's the thing. But you know, in terms of the business as a whole, the first company that decides to go and say, make the men have a little, you know, testosterone about them is going to be the most successful company. I mean, more successful than they've been. That's the company that people are going to want to watch, because right now, WWE isn't doing it. AEW isn't doing it. You know, I mean, the closest is NWA, but hey, it's still a small company, though.
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of it, maybe an Impact, but you know, again, it's do you consider Impact major? I don't know. But you're right that we need a little of that, and we're getting none of it. Now, I can understand wimpy characters. The Miz is supposed to be a wimpy character. I get it. Dominic Mysterio is supposed to be a wimpy character. I get it. But not everyone. Every person isn't supposed to, especially faces even. Even the faces are wimpy, you know, emo characters. Oh, I'm all about my feelings. My God. Can we have any strong, alpha male type men? We can't, I guess. Think about it. Not one. Except Lesnar when he shows up. They were even trying to downplay Drew McIntyre. And speaking of Drew McIntyre, for the benefit of people who thought that Matt Riddle was always on the chopping block and Matt Riddle was always going to be part of these releases, that's not the truth. I'll tell you how I know it's not the truth. The WWE had already manufactured a whole bunch of merchandise, and they were, in fact, going to get behind Drew McIntyre and Matt Riddle as a permanent team for a while. They were basically going to pull the Randy Orton thing, I guess, where Drew McIntyre was going to be the straight man, but he was going to come around to liking Riddle, and they were going to be a team, and they'd even planned out the merchandise. So somewhere in existence, if you can get your hands on one, I guess they got T-shirts. How amazing is that? That's something, right? So this was pulled, the carpet was pulled right out from underneath them. I think the airport incident was the last straw. I think the airport incident, the WWE realized how many chances can we give Matt Riddle, making the company look terrible. And we just can't put up with it. But Todd, I thought, you know, he was probably one of those guys that was earmarked for letting go, but apparently that's not true.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, before Matt Riddle got let go by the WWE, they were going to have a replacement for Randy Orton to be sort of similar to Randy Orton was doing, being the straight man in the team for a while, but I guess that didn't go as planned.
Yeah. So if you can get your hands on any of that, I don't know if they're going to try to sell it. I don't think they will. I don't know what the hell they'll do with it. But that's interesting, right? I don't know how many they printed or how much they got, but it had to be a pretty much last-minute decision to fire Riddle then. So, interesting that they were going to go that way with Drew McIntyre, because it means they really didn't have anything solo for him, which is odd. You would have thought, you know, my thought was they're about ready to turn him heel. He was going to turn on Matt Riddle. And that was going to be his big heel thing. But now I guess I was wrong, because you don't make up a whole bunch of merchandise if you weren't going to stick with it a little while. Anyway, the CM Punk alert is on. And this time it may not be as wild as some people are speculating. I had said there was very little shot, very, very, very little shot that the WWE would consider bringing back CM Punk. And now I've went from there was very, very, very little shot to there's just a little shot. The very, very is gone, because there is some stuff that's weird, you know, little innuendos that they're dropping on Raw, especially Seth Rollins dropped a few things that was like very close to some of the things that CM Punk was saying privately. And I'm like, that's like little hints. Then you got CM Punk saying, well, I'm free for 2 months. Well, I think it's the Survivor Series is in Chicago in 2 months. That's interesting timing. And I'm hearing that Triple H's hatred has softened somewhat. Edge is gone. And they might be thinking, well, we might have pissed the fans off a lot with Edge, but if we bring back CM Punk, I think the likelihood has gone up a bit. I still think it's a long shot. I still think it's a long shot. But I think it's much more likely than I did 2 weeks ago. So that would be interesting. I don't know what they'll do with him. They, you know, if they can rein him in or they can't rein him in. At this point, he has no place else to go. So now I think if they did hire him, they're at a little more of an advantage. He's not going back to AEW. So where's he going to go? He's not going to go anywhere. Plus, he's getting a little bit older, and I think he's beginning to realize, I don't know what I'm going to do once I don't wrestle anymore. Because apparently, he says, I'm set for life. Well, I don't think so, because then why are you doing MMA announcing and trying to find a job when Fox wanted to use him for a broadcaster? If you're set for life, you just say, I'm set for life. So I'm not sure I buy it. So I think long-term, what happens if he lives to be 90? You're going to be set to your 90? You know how many ball players thought that? No, I was making $300,000 a year in my heyday, and back then I was rolling in money. And then all of a sudden, $300,000 wasn't nothing. 20 years from now, that $1 million you made ain't going to be much. Those several million dollars ain't going to be much, right? They're going to let you live your lifestyle until you're 85? I don't know. So that's why a lot of these guys think to themselves, well, I want long-term contracts. So I'm really super set. I guess if you have great investments and everything, it's possible, but I think CM Punk wants to work a little bit more. And he's running out of places. That's going to offer him big money anyway. I mean, he can go work in Impact. They're not going to offer him any. We're close to that money. Japan might, but I don't think that's a good fit either. So I think WWE is like the last, you know, stop. So maybe if they hire him, he'll rein himself in a little bit and he'll behave a little bit better. But I still think it's a long shot, Todd. I don't see them really doing it, but I do see hints here and there that they might.
Absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said about the CM Punk thing. And like you said, if there are rumblings right now said he's coming back. If you're going to bring him back, make him a heel. I would do that. Make him a heel when he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether he'd come back to try to face Roman Reigns. That would be a mistake. I don't want that to happen. Or he'd come back with it. I would like him to come back, and if Seth Rollins, for all of Seth Rollins' fault, Seth Rollins has said, I hate Matt Riddle and I'd never work with him. Don't ask me to work with him. I'm not working with him. And then when they said, Seth, things are coming around to the point where we kind of want you to work with him, he said, okay, I'll work with him. CM Punk, I don't want him back in this federation. Go home, Phil. You're a cancer. We don't want you around here, blah, blah, blah. But I bet you if they go to Seth Rollins and say, well, we got a really good opportunity here, he'd say, okay, I'll do it. He seems to be amicable when it comes to working with people he's not super fond of. That's one good thing about Seth Rollins. So I think you probably could talk him into it. Here's what I don't understand. I've got a feeling that CM Punk isn't coming back to put other people over all the time. So you'd have to tell me what your plans were and what you expected before I could tell you whether or not CM Punk would sign. If he's at the part of his life where he says, I really don't care, they want me to come back and fight Seth Rollins and lose for zillions of dollars, I'll do it. They want me to come back and just mouth off on TV and not win that many matches for this much money, I'll do it. I don't know if he's reached that point in his life. I know that wasn't the way he was. He used to want to dictate everything. I want complete control over what I'm doing, and I can nix this idea and that idea, and I'm not losing to this one and that one. I know how he used to be. But sometimes things change. I watched wrestlers change dramatically. I mean, the Bret Hart that I saw when he was on top in the WWE is not the Bret Hart you see today. A totally different guy. Totally different guy. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting tonight, however, to see what goes down. I guess we're going to be seeing a little bit more of John Cena than we thought. John Cena, from what I'm told, is also probably going to do the next Saudi Arabia show. So Cena's back a little more than temporarily, I guess. It's not super long-term, but it's going to be several matches from what I'm being told. Not so much The Rock. I'm told that Rock thing was a one-shot. I have no idea whether they're still talking about his WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns. Every day that goes by, it becomes less and less relevant. Roman Reigns has been gone for a long time. This whole bloodline thing has cooled off considerably. And we're getting to the point now where I don't even know if it's worth, you know, bringing The Rock back and doing all this publicity work for what? Because a lot of the heat's off Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns had nuclear heat for a while. Right after the Sami Zayn thing, Roman Reigns had nuclear heat. People wanted to see him beat bad. And not so much. So we'll see if that's even worth it. So should be an interesting show tonight. And we will be back here on Sunday to discuss that and some other wrestling. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.